You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Facebook would ordinarily say, we're a private company, we're not liable. Well, you know what? When they act at the behest of the government, when they contact Fauci, when they say, should we censor this? And Fauci says yes, and they censor it for the federal government. And then magically, when the government changes his mind and said, oh, all those facts that were there a year ago, now you're allowed to talk about it. They stop censoring it with a flip of a switch. That lays a very strong argument that Facebook is operating as a state agency.
And I believe, and I've said repeatedly, they and the rest of the so-called mainstream media of the past are now state-controlled media. This is June 7th, 2021. Those were the words of Texas Senator Ted Cruz, talking about how Facebook, as he said, with a flip of a switch, suddenly decided that all the posts you put up a year ago regarding that Trump says COVID came right out of that Wuhan lab, or simply asked if it's out of the Wuhan lab, or even you were speculating that. I don't really know, but are we looking at that? If you raise questions like that to any extent on any social media platform, in particular Facebook, you often got put in Facebook jail, or at least your comments were stricken. Or at the very least, they finally start putting up a little notice for real facts of COVID. Go to this source. And that was part of what Zuckerberg had worked out with Dr. Fauci. We're going to start putting up real information about COVID. So when folks are putting out lies and misinformation, we can direct them to this site. And would you be willing to cut a little video for us and add a few points and so forth and add your credibility? Your credibility. We all know now that it was a lie from the beginning. And there is no credibility with Fauci. There is certainly no credibility with Facebook or the other big tech. And you know there's no credibility when it comes to what is now state-controlled media. It is not now. It was not yesterday. It was not during the Trump administration. We're going to spend more time on how the once called mainstream media, as I say now, state-controlled media, and I'm actually hearing others, commentators, syndicators, pick up that same phrase. I'm not claiming credit for it, but I had not heard it until I started saying it. You could give them credit or blame, because there's always a thin line between credit and blame. But we're going to deal with the examples of all of these unethical alliances and fake questions and that opposes journalism, like asking Biden, what flavor ice cream did you get? And then the other day he had a brief encounter at a conference and somebody, oh, what about the cat? Tell us about the Biden cat. This is what you ask the president of the United States or a would-be candidate. This is what you want to focus on. It is. It is if you were among the state-controlled media, because we don't want to get anything that could be damaging. All of this points out again how the media is no longer ethical, no longer doing its job for you. So Facebook says it's okay now if you put up those links to China, possibly, or raise questions. It's okay now. Well, thank you, sir. May I have another, sir? Also, we're going to look at education issues, critical race, not just teaching. Critical race, of course, is teaching systemic racism and encouraging hate and division. I'm all for teaching about slavery in our schools. I'm talking about how we have had minority groups, and particularly the blacks during slavery, suppressed, chained. That was a horrific, shameful chapter of our lives in this nation. I say teach it, learn from it. But what we have now is that you're not just teaching division, you're teaching guilt and you're teaching more hate. And again, big tech is helping. Amazon continues to do its job to help spread that disgust. We'll get into that story. And then you got the New York psychiatrist. A New York psychiatrist who you think would never even want to touch a gun. And talking to a group at Yale School of Medicine, talks about her fantasy involving a gun. And you. That's right, I'm pointing at you. You'll want to hear what she has to say. And of course, over the weekend, yesterday, June 6th, marking D-Day, when we invaded the beaches of Normandy. I do not want to let today go without recalling some of that. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
One statistic shocked Democrats to their core. President Trump transforming the GOP into a multiracial working class coalition, with his support significantly increasing among non-white voters. Democratic pollster David Shaw crunched the numbers and found that roughly 1 in 10 Hispanic voters switched from the Democrats in 2016 to Trump in 2020. Why? First, quote, in the summer, following the emergence of defund the police as a nationally salient issue, support for Biden among Hispanic voters declined. And second, quote, asking voters whether they lean toward Biden and Trump and then emphasizing the Democratic position on immigration often caused Biden's share of support among Latino respondents to decline.
Those are the words of Steve Hilton of Fox News talking about a report that shows why so many minority groups are now turning to Trump in the past and now turning to the Republican Party. We're going to break that down in more detail for you, including in an interview segments with Janelle King, who's the co-founder of Speak Georgia, a black woman, who says there's a clear reason why minorities are walking away from the progressive left, be they black, brown, yellow, or red. Democrat politicians, consultants, and those in the liberal media defending them have pushed the narrative for decades that Democrats were building a permanent majority coalition. That's right. They definitely had an opinion that they were going to do that. And they were going to do it to the extent that we're not going to change anything. We know what we're doing. This is part of an opinion piece written by former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson. When I read those remarks, we need to give, I'm sorry, from Rick Scott, I'm sorry, further stating a Republican Rick Scott from Florida in the U.S., a former Florida governor. He's the one who's making that statement, not Richardson. So former Republican governor Rick Scott, now Republican Senate, said, in quoting Governor Bill Richardson, former New Mexico governor, "The Hispanic community is going to stay with the Democrat Party. To the Republicans, I say, you have no shot." Well, according to this opinion piece written by, again, Senator Rick Scott of Florida, he said, "Here's an inconvenient truth Democrats do not want to admit. It was a myth, and it was a myth born from the Democrat Party's hubris. It did not happen." He said, "Here's another inconvenient truth. As the Hispanic share of the electorate has increased over the last three presidential elections, Democrats' margin of victory among Hispanic voters has decreased significantly." He said it's happening everywhere. It's not just Hispanic voters in South Florida uniting behind the Republican message and against the increasing socialist platform of the Democrat Party, as many Democrats would have you believe. It is all Hispanic voters from all walks of life. See, they're pushing the story down in Florida. Well, yeah, you're going to have a lot of Hispanics in Florida because really they are Cuban. And they came from Cuba. And so they're more likely to be Republican because they look at Cuba and their rule of Castro and the nation as a whole as communist, Marxist. Well, that's just what it is. That's what it is. They don't have to look at that exact. That's why so many wanted to leave and get away and still are trying. But what he is saying, what Senator Scott is saying, it is not just the Cubans. He said Hispanic voters are becoming Republicans. It's happening right now. There's no stopping it. This isn't something we're hoping for. This is something is in the process. This train is moving. And it's becoming increasingly clear that the Democrat Party misread the so-called coalition of the ascendant. And new polling conducted by the National Republican Senatorial Committee proves it. In other words, all of these guys on the Democrats, all of those among the left saying, we are going to win because we represent minority voters. But he points out something we've discussed before, and you know this. And many minority voters know it. They know it. They see it. They suffer from it. And they're told it's always the Republicans' fault. And that is that Democrat leaders have taken their party in a direction that increasingly reflects the views of wealthy, urban, coastal elites, while failing to understand working-class Americans and the values and aspirations of Hispanic voters. Democrats are out of touch and assume that all Hispanic voters just hate Republicans. Now, he's got a lot of stats that back that up that I'm going to break down for you in a moment. But, of course, keep in mind, too, the Democrats are always touting we have the black vote because we have done everything for the black minorities of this country. We are the party of those who were held in slavery and in chains. And we have represented them always, not wanting you to go back and look at history and see the Democrats and the Democrat Party, who were the ones supporting slavery and were the ones who were still fighting against giving blacks the right to vote. Those were the Jim Crow laws. They were not Republican-based. They were Democrat. Now, the Democrats say, well, that was a different time. It was a different time. I'll grant you that. Are those today's Democrats? No, they're not, and I'll agree with that. They're also not today's Republicans. But that's where they have no problem of relabeling Republicans as they are Jim Crow. It's a flat-out lie. And I'm going to call it exactly like that. It's a lie. L-I-E. Very simple. So here's Janelle Keene, the co-founder of Speak Georgia, because this is one of the black Republicans who recognizes what many minorities are coming around to doing. And first of all, minorities be they black, yellow, brown, yellow, or even you as white. You are entitled to your own opinion. And I think you're probably smart enough to make up your own mind. You may not agree with me. That's fine. I may not agree with you. We're all allowed to have our perspective. Nobody's going to get shot, supposedly, in this nation for disagreeing. But part of the issue here is, according to Janelle King, co-founder of Speak Georgia, who obviously supports the Georgia re-election laws, to the new election laws, she says, you want to know why Trump and the rest of that group gets minority support? Here it is.
It's important to understand that hope is exciting, but hope that is empty is not. Hope that has solutions attached to it is what where we really see the actual, you know, embracing of what is really happening. And that's the fundamental difference between President Trump and President Biden and the Democratic Party. You know, President Trump, instead of just trying to rally people to promote equality, he decided to just treat people equally. And that is where President Trump stands with this. And I think that's where why there was such an increase, because we were tired of hearing the same old things and the same old messages of what should be done, when in fact we needed someone who actually can get it done.
Get it done. Get her done. And, of course, Obama campaigned on hope. Hope. Hope and change. And I said then, hold out your hand, both hands, and see which one fills up with either hope or change fast. And it didn't. It was hope for many people. But it didn't get it done, as she points out. See, the problem is with politicians, and they know this. See, they know it. They're thinking you will forget it. As I've often told you, sometimes if you don't have the steak, then sell the sizzle. Sell the sizzle. That'll get them. You don't have any steak, but the sizzle may attract them. They think you've got something really good for them. And here again is where Janelle King, co-founder of Speak Georgia, says, we don't want to just smell the sizzle. We don't want to just hear the words. We want action.
We were tired of hearing the same old things and the same old messages of what should be done, when in fact we needed someone who actually can get it done. When we had, you know, President Obama, and even under with Vice President Biden at the time, you know, they were promoting prison reform. Well, President Trump, we actually saw people walking out of prison cells. And that actually goes much further when it comes to the minority community. We want solutions. We want to make sure that when we see things that are out of place, that we have a president, someone that can fix them.
That's what everyone wanted. And I don't care your color, your gender, your religious preference, your sexual preference. I mean, if you have an issue that you think needs fixed, then you want someone who's actually going to fix the issue you have in front of it. In front of you, I should say. Now, let's go back to what Senator Tim Scott of Florida was talking about when he's referring to how the polls are showing a survey by the National Republican Senatorial Committee proves it's increasingly clear the Democrat Party does not understand. He said, here's reality. Hispanic voters are aspirational. They want to live in a society with a government that values work, faith, a quality education, strong borders, independent self-determination, and they increasingly see the Democratic Party is out of touch with those values. Now, again, these are statements written in a column by Senator Tim Scott, but here's where he breaks out some of the stats from that polling. 63% of Hispanic voters in battleground states see capitalism as the best form of government versus 17% who choose socialism, and the Democrats are increasingly becoming the Socialist Party. 72% of Hispanic voters in battleground states see capitalism as the best form of government versus, I said 63% versus 17% who choose socialism. Now, the other thing, what about securing the border? A lot of folks thought, oh, the Hispanics got to all be about, let's open the border. Well, that's not true, according to the survey. Democrats are the open borders party. Well, 72% of Hispanic voters believe we need to secure the southern border, stop the illegal immigration. 72% of Hispanic voters. And 58% of Hispanic voters believe too many people no longer want to work. They're happy living off government assistance. And 67% Hispanic voters believe our country, especially younger Americans, are losing our traditional values of faith, freedom, and family. Those are the numbers. And here's a recommendation from Janelle King, co-founder of Speak Georgia for Politicians in the Future.
This is all about solutions. And even when you talk about the Latino community and our Hispanic friends, it's important to understand that they want to be safe as well. Ultimately, we all want the same thing. And that's to be able to protect our families, provide for our families, and live in America with that provides us with opportunities to do those things. And at the end of the day, if you have a message that speaks to that, then you are the person for our community. But if your message is simply to make us feel good and speak to our emotions, then that is not the message that's going to provide change. So we need to make sure that we put our emotions in check and go with the candidates that are actually offering solutions.
And again, that's Janelle King, black woman, co-founder of Speak Georgia. The Republican national senatorial polling showing that also Hispanic voters believe big tech has too much power. They support voter ID. They oppose cancel culture. Democrats and progressives are on the wrong side, and many Democrats realize it, but try and figure out how we get back. So then comes this storyline that I debunked the other day. I'm going to do it again, and that is that Donald Trump is going to be reinstated in office by August. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, before I continue, I've got to let you know that VP Kamala Harris is talking. You have 70-plus days without a news conference. 75 days ago, actually, she's appointed by Biden to lead our U.S. diplomatic talks to solve the migration surge to the border and focus on what the administration sees as a root cause of why hundreds of thousands are flooding our border since Biden took office. So she's making her first visit to the region. And she said in her opening statement as she addressed the president of Guatemala, I'm here today to discuss and advance our shared priorities. Foremost among those, as you have mentioned, is addressing migration from this region in particular. Well, as she's doing that, the first thing she had to deal with is the Guatemalan president is blaming the U.S. for the migrant surge at the border. Harris has previously said, I'm thinking of corruption, violence, poverty, the lack of economic opportunity, the lack of climate adaptation, and climate resilience, the lack of good governments. That's what she said last month. But again, the Guatemalan government, the president, in an interview aired just a day earlier, pushed back against everything she just said. Said, we're not on the same side of the coin. He said, no, the problem is still migrants are getting a welcome message by the new administration. That's your issue. Here she is in the Northern Triangle. And the Guatemalan president says, it's on you, not us, and not climate change or whatever else you want to come up with. Oh, she's not going to be happy. Tough luck. It's a fact. Now, here's something that's not a fact. I told you the other day, anybody who is buying into this debunked conspiracy that Trump is going to be reinstated in office by August, I told you then, and I'm not mincing words, you are an idiot. Don't buy into that crap. You got the state-controlled media pushing it now and saying that Trump is still claiming he really won the election. Well, yeah, he's still doing that. And they're quoting him as saying he'll be reinstated to office by August. Some audit proving some voter fraud. I don't know if Trump really believes that or not, or if he's just doing rope-a-dope with them again. As I've told you before, I think in many cases, that's what he did during his administration. throws a little fake punch, and they start rushing all over the court. Oh, there's got to be something here. But I'm looking at some of the comments from various folks on the left contributing remarks on Twitter. One of them saying, if Trump is trying to recruit allies for his reinstatement, at what point do we treat this not as a delusion but as a coup attempt? He kind of has priors. You know, they're referencing January 6th, that was a coup attempt. That was nowhere near a coup attempt. My God, they went in with no weapons. Police admitted they found nobody with any weapons, no guns, anything like that. Then you got another one stating, this kind of talk turns into civil war, at least if the deposed king is still wandering around. See, all of them are pushing it that Trump believes it, and others are in the process of making it happen. They do not want to look at the issues in front of them and that they are responsible for. One of them being the borders. Now the Guatemalan president's telling VP Harris, you're wrong. You don't understand what the issue is. And then we have the how they're trying to control education and make your children hate each other.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed, and at the same time, will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
Short, my hair was long, caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The white people are out of their minds, and they have been for a long time. This is the cost of talking to white people at all. The cost of your own life as they suck you dry. There are no good apples out there. White people make my blood boil.
Those are the remarks of a speaker that was addressing a psychiatrist, I should emphasize, in New York City, talking to a group at the Yale School of Medicine. Now, it might have been hard for you to kind of hear a little bit what she said, so let me repeat it for you. These are the words, again, are this New York psychiatrist, Dr. Aruna Kilanani. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. I'm not trying to destroy her name. It's Kilanani, I think, and I haven't heard any other pronunciation of it. She's speaking April 6th, and the words just now coming out, because the audio of the talk got posted on a online platform of the former New York Times opinion writer and editor Barry Weiss last Friday. And then it was part of an interview that she conducted with a writer and podcaster, Katie Herzog. She is saying, as she opened her talk by telling listeners, I'm going to say a lot of things and will probably provoke a lot of responses. I want you to just maybe observe them in yourself. And then she goes on to say, white people are out of their minds. They have been for a long time. This is the cost of talking to white people at all. The cost of your own life as they suck you dry. There are no good apples out there. White people make my blood boil. If I say that that's racist, I'm actually being kind. course it's racist. Anybody would make a remark, you substitute any other color person for what she said is white, it would be racist. Racism is racism. I don't know how many times we had to go through that point that if you believe that you are superior to someone else because of the color of your skin or that they are inferior to you because of the color of their skin, you are racist. It happens in every area. More than it should. And children don't, they're not born with racism. You don't have a bone in your body that says you will be racist. You don't have anything in your head that says you'll be racist when you're born. It's your environment. It's those you're around and those you listen to and those that you take as mentors. It may be for a time, and maybe you turn away later and realize they were wrong. I mean, there were a lot of Southern people thought, well, you know, the Klan's good, going to stand up for the rights that we're losing. Then they realized, no, it's not just standing up. They are looking to lynch and kill black people, and I want no part of it. Well, if you were a Klan member, you were stuck with it. It's like committing a crime now. You may really be sorry about it. You got caught, but you committed a crime, and, boy, at the time it just looked like a prank. You know, a prank. I wasn't doing anything. But then again, others see it the other way. And in some cases, especially if it's something that they can say is a hate crime, they're going to really come after you. And we have this push to put critical race theory inside our classrooms. Critical race theory. We've got corporate media outlets threatening to pull out of red states if they're going to ban that curriculum. We've got other states stepping forward, of course, to make it clear we're not going to be involved in that. But among the corporate experts, media experts, would include the New York Times. Yeah, it's not just the big companies pulling out. They want a big voice, so they got it with the New York Times, because they've been pushing their own little agenda. That the whole reason this nation was founded, was to bring slavery to the U.S. The Times published a story last week accusing Texas, Idaho, other Republican-led states of using legislation to prevent teachers from teaching, quote, the role of slavery and pervasive ethics. And pervasive effects of racism in schools. The headline reads, Texas pushes to obscure the state's history of slavery and racism. And they point to some bills that, quote, would ban teaching about the enduring legacies of slavery and segregationist laws, or that any state of the country is inherently racist or sexist, as a conservative push to keep kids ignorant. You got groups like Political Fact. It's a leftist bias. They do a sham fact checker website, as described by Jordan Davidson of The Federalist. And they painted the CRT legislation you're seeing in many states as a way to make teachers confine lessons to a limited view of American history and current events. Others are trying to remain subtle and gaslight readers into believing what is being taught to their kids is not CRT. ABC News had recently reported, some educators across the U.S. expanded their curriculums on racial inequality in response to the last year of protest against police brutality and disproportionate police violence against black people. Some curriculums now include more racialized historical events, such as the Tulsa race riot. Well, I spent a lot of time on that the other day, and I believe it is worthy to understand what happened. Study it. Learn from it. It was wrong. It was shameful. It is part of our history. You ever done anything shameful in your life? Really shameful. Shamed yourself. You shamed your parents. You shamed your family. And you feel bad. You can't just rewrite and make it go away. It's there. They're always going to know it. But hopefully you can work your way past it. And maybe you can even use it as a teaching lesson to someone else in the family or some friend say, here's what I did, and I was wrong, and I paid a deep price for it. Maybe it involved prison time. Maybe it just involved loss of relations and within the family that you think you may never repair. Or maybe you repaired, but yet sometimes it still keeps coming back. Listen, this nation has a history of slavery. It's not good, never was, not right. And pushing racism on kids when they're still not really even looking at the other person as a different color. They look at them as kids until they reach a point where then they begin to buy into some of this stuff. So you got some parents across the nation at private schools. They're trying to fight back against the critical race theory and other so-called woke ideas that they say are an indoctrination of students. According to the New York Post, trucks are being parked outside numerous schools where bystanders will see signs like diversity, not indoctrination. Others teach how to think, not what to think. And then a question, woke school, speak out. Every one of those are simply saying, think for yourself and do not let things be shoved down the face of your children. But here you have this New York psychiatrist I began this session with talking about, the psychiatrist who believed that she had every reason to make the remarks you're going to hear in a moment because it was the right thing to do. Again, this is Dr. Aruna Kalani, psychiatrist based in New York City, speaking in part to a group at the Yale School of Medicine and then later similar views expressed in a podcast. And as I said, she opened her talk by saying, I'm going to say a lot of things, probably will provoke a lot of responses. I just want you to maybe observe them in yourself. And then the left, which is always against guns all the time, won't accept them at all, and every gun is deadly. I don't care if it's just sitting there without a bullet in it. It's a deadly weapon. It's not the person. It's got to be the gun. This leftist makes a remark that is, it's not just shocking, I would say it's actually criminal, of her fantasy. And this leftist who probably doesn't want a gun, never held one in her life, she has a fantasy. Listen to this.
I had fantasies of unloading a revolver into the head of any white person that got in my way, burying their body, and wiping my bloody hands as I walked away relatively guiltless.
You heard that, right? I'm going to repeat it for you. I'm going to tell you again what she said, and I want you to hear from her own words again. I had fantasies of unloading a revolver into the head of any white person that got in my way, burying their body, wiping my bloody hands as I walked away, relatively guiltless with a bounce in my steps, like I did the world an effing favor.
I had fantasies of unloading a revolver into the head of any white person that got in my way, burying their body, and wiping my bloody hands as I walked away relatively guiltless, with a bounce in my step, like I did the world a favor.
Do you not think that's shocking? Do you not think that is the kind of thing that would be considered a direct threat to any white person? And if a white person had said that, reference about a black person, I'd say the same thing. More on that and what Amazon is still failing to do.
Sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So can you think of any justification for what you heard that New York psychiatrist say? Any justification whatsoever that stops short of being calling it criminal? I mean, it's a, to my opinion, it is a criminal statement. But, of course, if you don't actually carry it out, we have a case here where a psychiatrist says that I have fantasies of unloading a revolver in the head of any white person that got my way, burying their body, wiping my bloody hands, I walk away, guiltless with a bounce in my step. The professor of social and natural science at Yale in a tweet said, the racism expressed by Dr. Kalani is deeply worrisome and counterproductive. Of course, as an invitee, she is free to speak on campus, but her views must be soundly rejected. Well, good. Somebody up there is thinking. Now, the difference between the very fact that she's allowed to appear and speak, contrary to any conservatives trying to speak in some of the other institutions, they're not even going to let them make their statement and then others condemn them or reject it. They're just not going to let them speak. You have Amazon, as I pointed out the other day, selling a list of products, everything from a COVID mask to T-shirts to hoodies, Blue Lives Murder. That's obviously an anti-cop slogan accusing police of murder. There's been obviously backlash, not just from police, but others. But let's put this in context. Here's Amazon that will tell you what you can and can't sell. They have a guideline. They do. Here's their guideline. Listen to this, please. It's a list of prohibited products covered as offensive and controversial materials. Telling sellers you're not allowed to be selling some except for books, music, video, and DVD. Here's the exact quote. Amazon does not allow products that promote, incite, or glorify hatred, violence, racial, sexual, or religious intolerance, or promote organizations with such views. We'll also remove listings that graphically portray violence or victims of violence. We exercise judgment in allowing or prohibiting listings, and we keep our global community of customers and cultural differences and sensitivities in mind when reviewing and making a decision on products, and I call BS. They're obviously not. In addition to being able to buy masks and T-shirts with Blue Lives Murder, you can also buy Antifa material. Antifa, short for anti-fascism, is, of course, that far-left political extremist group that used violence all across the nation, linked to numerous violent protests, assaulting journalists, police officers, citizens. And yet you can buy Antifa gear, shirts, and so forth. You can buy the Antifa anti-fascist handbook for just under $17. And if you do an Audible subscription, they give it to you free. So here they have anti-police, anti-Antifa, I should say pro-Antifa, but they also have anti-Israel material. That's right. They're selling items that are anti-Israel. Their statement that we won't sell anything, we will keep our cultural differences and sensitivities in mind. Obviously, not if you don't agree with their corporate view. They're a private company. As far as making a decision, they can do that. They did pull down the Confederate flag in 2015 when it was offered on Amazon. That was after that shooting at the historic black church in Charleston, South Carolina. As if the flag had something to do with it. They also removed the Dukes of Hazzard from its streaming service because the Confederate flag imagery is in there from time to time. There were some stock in the leggings women wear that had Hindu gods on them. They pulled those down. There were complaints from the Hindus, so they said, okay, we'll take that down. Police agencies and foundations have said Blue Lives murder. You're encouraging more ambushes on our police because of that. In the next hour, you don't want to miss it because we're going to focus a lot on all the state-controlled media and how it's trying to control you now. And they want you to believe we're giving you the legitimate story, as Dr. Fauci tried that same little trick pony with us. We're going to get into that. And we're going to get into how CNN is losing everybody. Can't get anybody to watch. So what they got to revive Trump again. They got to put him back front stage. I mean, without Trump, they are losing viewers everywhere. And then we're going to take time to spend moments and thoughts about D-Day, June 6. Stand by for the next hour.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.